To begin, I would like to start this sermon today by acknowledging the hurt that has taken place within this room, within the lives of each of us, and within the DNA of our church. And I want to thank Renee and Kelly and Dr. Hannah from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, who have helped shape this sermon throughout the reflective process we are developing. We recognize that this is a delicate subject because of the misunderstandings, unknown stories, and harshness that has been displayed within the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church throughout the centuries. Naming and honoring, we want the hurt of our past and present to go away, but it doesn't always go away. It resides within our lives and our life stories. Part of the declaration given is to redefine what Christ is trying to say within these passages by looking at the pericope given to take a specific look within the larger context of Mark's gospel, acknowledging that Christ is flipping the script that has been told for centuries and used to persecute and isolate those who have sought divorce, honoring and naming that this is not a simple matter, but a difficult one. We'll do this by exploring some definitions. To start, we look at the word pericope, which is defined as a liturgical reading for a particular day. I can add selections from above or below the selected gospel or first or second reading or the psalm reading for which we engage on any given Sunday. Another word I would like us to become familiar with is the word kerygma, which sums up the apostolic proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ. And also a word, an adjective of that is the kerygmatic, which I'll sometimes throw in sermons from now on because I think it's a cool word. What I want to do today is expand our pericope to notice what is going on before and what is happening after the section we've been given to address this week. To begin our look at Mark's gospel, which is reimagining who holds power within society, by laying out the foundation of a new community built through Christ, not only as he heads to his persecution, death, and ascension, but what takes place afterwards through his disciples' work. And this, as this gospel follows his journey to the cross. Mark is calling on all who hear the testimony given by Christ to have faith in God, who is shaking up the views held by those within the once regimented Jewish community, making health and wholeness available to all, especially those who have limited access to these resources under the Roman Empire, addressing those of Jewish Palestine descent, the women within society, the children, the poor, the sick, and the Gentiles. Furthermore, he is writing as a reaction to what is occurring at the end of the second century and beginning of the third, as a response to the crisis confronting the Christian community who are under the leadership of Nero within the Roman Empire and those residing within the kingdom, naming and giving space for healing to the persecutions they were facing. Our task is to blend the readings and the richness of the themes that occur in tandem, which give voice to revealing the power and depth of the gospel, themes of sovereign splendor, innocent trust, generous invitations, and hard demands. Through intertwining our understanding of Christ, which can bring a balance to the hard demand while merging the broader understanding of God's desire for us as beloved children. This work can enable us to reclaim what has been told for centuries to persecute and isolate those who sought divorce, honoring and naming that this is not a simple matter, but a difficult one. We also need to inject the idea that we were made for healthy relationships with one another, full of mutual love and caring. In this story, We can't possibly know what the couple was experiencing within the pericope that we have been given. Maybe Christ knew and was able to speak to their story. We do know, through our broader understanding of Christ's love for us and his desire for us to follow the laws established for righteous living, that Christ saw divorce as a tragedy. Any divorce denotes a collapse of the divine purpose for those God joined together in marriage, which should not be separated. We know that the question asked by the Pharisees is the wrong one and is being used as a potential trap. They were asking, and they're using Christ's relationship with John the Baptist to ask the questions that when John spoke against divorce to Herod, his wife had him beheaded, had John beheaded. We can go deeper in our focus when we interpret Christ's words as expressive with an emotional quality. He is not casting judgment, but in his words spoken, is releasing the woman from being a nobody in the culture she was living within. By looking at the law of Moses, he's redefining it to give freedom through the letter that he's instructing those listening to give to their wives, enabling the wives to start over in society and not be seen as less than they are. For those who have had difficulty to understand Christ's teaching on divorce, this gospel offers to shed light for a renewed basis of the disciples' faith, made clearer through the trials and tribulations along the journey of the building of faith, and offers hope for the kingdom's future when the harvest, the full-grown mustard tree, the resurrection, and the utilization of God's salvation will make all things right. Switching our focus inward, we are not to judge whatever brings about divorce, either physical harm, verbal abuse, infidelity, hardening of hearts towards one another, and this is just naming a few examples from my own extended family. Our focus should be on the three parts. First, we looked to the conclusion of this section to see that Christ critiques the disciples for keeping the children and others away, as if protecting Jesus' time for more important work with adults. Second, our call is to care. How do we show care and care for the characters within our own lives who have been touched by the ripples of divorce because they are children of God and should not be kept away from worshiping God within the community of beloveds? Third, we ought to remember Luther's teaching that we are sinner and saint, meaning that we are 100% sinner and 100% saint, according to Luther. This also extends to knowing there will be times we've fallen short of what God is asking for us and of us. However, when we seek forgiveness and repent our sins, God forgives us, unconditionally full of love and forgiveness for us. Remembering that God's realm challenges and enables all who listen to join in that revisioning of power, confronting those who hold the power. My question to reflect on is, how can we be reflective of those siblings, of being siblings of Christ to one another in light of Mark's message? And as a community, how do we act as a presence and instrument of God to those hurt by divorce? We acknowledge, especially when we acknowledge, the hurt within our own families and community, while holding on to God's love, grace, hope, and peace freely given to all. Amen.